This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. Most plays about historical events and figures take liberties with the facts. You probably couldn't write a good play if you didn't do that. But I've never seen one that handles the mix of fact and fiction quite like Lucas Naith's new play about Isaac Newton. It's set when the scientist is a young man, practically a kid, working out his theories in provincial obscurity. And it begins with an actor addressing the audience.
Isaac Newton knew, or thought he knew, there was something called ether. He thought there was ether everywhere. Ether in the air, ether in between the air, ether everywhere there was a there. And because he thought there was ether everywhere, it helped him imagine how things moved. He could imagine that things moved on ether in his head. That's how things moved. We know now what Newton did not know then. There's no such thing as ether. But by believing that ether was real, Isaac was able to see things he could not have seen. If he did not think that there was something there, that was not really there. This play is filled with ether. There are things in this play that are not true. There are also things that are true, lots of things, even things that are true that don't sound true, but are true. Like, when Isaac Newton was a kid, he threatened to burn down his house and kill his parents. That's true. But there are also things in the play that are not true. But like ether, the lies are here to help us make sense of the things that are true. Now, because we don't want to lie to you, anything that's true, we'll write on the wall. If it's not written on the wall, just know it might be made up. Isaac Newton threatened to burn down his parents' house. And that's true.
That's Jeff Beal in the opening scene from Isaac's Eye, a new play about Isaac Newton. Lucas Naith, the playwright, is here with me now. Welcome to Studio 360 and congratulations for this terrific play.
Thank you, Kurt.
So you promise, as we just heard, this total transparency. All the true facts we hear about Newton and the other characters are written on the walls during the play as they come up in the course of the story. And everything else is your imagination. It is a really nice solution to the problem of historical fiction, which I've played with. And really, it seems only doable in the theater. It's something theater only could do. How did you come to that device?
I had written a number of plays about celebrities or iconic figures. I'd written one about Anna Nicole Smith. I'd written one about the Clintons. And by the time I finished my play about the Clintons, I was starting to worry that I was just taking these people's stories and putting my own stories into them. That was a debate going on in my head at the time that I started writing Isaac's Eye. And so I decided, well, I'll just stage the debate. I will show the audience what's true, and I will be very upfront with the fact that I'm making stuff up. And it's my hope that by making something up, I'm able to give an interesting context for the facts.
So from Anna Nicole Smith to Isaac Newton, how did you get to Newton as a subject of a play?
I was actually listening to the Leonard Lopate show.
On WNYC.
On my iPod. I was walking home and he was interviewing George Johnson, who wrote a book called The 10 Most Beautiful Experiments. And Johnson had actually mentioned in passing very quickly this experiment that Newton had done where he placed a needle behind his eye. And what I realized on that walk home was that there's something really theatrically exciting about seeing somebody on stage with a needle stuck into their eye.
Which you do, and which is pretty central to the plot. And for minutes, it looks as though the actor does indeed have a needle stuck in his eye. Is that a prop needle?
I'm not allowed to say what we're actually doing, except to say that it is kind of difficult what the actor Haskell is doing in that moment.
Isaac Newton, before he was Sir Isaac Newton, did stick a needle in his tear duct. How do we know that he did it and then don't know why? That doesn't follow.
He has in his diary a hand-drawn picture of an oversized hand sticking a needle into the eye. And all he writes beside it are that he saw light and dark colored circles. And that's all we know.
It must be a very different process writing about Newton, about whom we know so relatively little, and somebody like the Clintons or Anna Nicole Smith, about whom we know way too much factually, right? Does that free the fiction streams?
Yeah, I think so, actually. With Newton, what we have coming in is this really uninteresting two-dimensional image of a person with wavy hair getting hit on the head with an apple. And so my objective was to smash that. And that's actually pretty easy to smash when that's all you have. But I kind of filled in a lot of the gaps of the play by really basing him a lot on myself, which is kind of a strange thing to admit to. But I think you could actually look at the play and change his occupation to playwright, and you can change the Royal Society to, I don't know, the MacArthur Genius Grant, and then you kind of have it there, that sort of desire to get this position in one's career where you can ostensibly do whatever you want.
And so you're blackmailed David Mamet to try to get your position in the theater?
I don't know if Mamet can help me, but... there may be others.
I want to listen to another scene from the play, Isaac's Eye. In this scene, Newton is still this young genius whom nobody knows, and he's decided to send descriptions of his experiments to Robert Hooke, who was the most famous, celebrated scientist in England at the time. He wants Hooke to get him into the Royal Society, which is preposterous for this kid that nobody knows, and Hooke feels threatened by his obvious genius in these papers, and he goes to visit Newton.
You sent me this little story that you wrote about an experiment you did with light and a piece of glass.
Yeah.
It's written like a little story. I set up the beam of light like this and watched how it hit the wall, and then I took a piece of glass.
Yeah.
And then you talk about how the light hits the glass, and you say, oh, I'm so surprised. It breaks up into colors.
Yeah.
And the point you raise here is whether the glass colors the light or...
if light is all colors.
And then you go straight from there and say, okay, well, I'll pass the colored light through a second prism.
Uh-huh.
And when you did that, the colored light stayed colored.
Yeah.
Which you think means things don't color light. Light is all colors in one.
So what's the problem?
You had all these little realizations all at once. It was like that in your head. You just went from one thought to the next, one after another, just like that.
Yeah.
When did you do this?
I've been doing that type of thing for years.
But the way you wrote the story, you made it sound like it happened in one afternoon.
Yeah.
So you're saying you woke up one morning, decided to try this experiment on light, and by the time you were eating dinner...
it was a bunch of different afternoons.
Right, but you said...
yeah, I know what I said.
You know you said...
yeah, I know.
So you know the way that it's written isn't the way that it happened. I have a problem with that.
Why?
It's not accurate.
It's more clear this way.
But it's not true.
Yeah, but the basic idea still works out. It's just a technicality.
How can I trust this if you're fudging how things happened?
You can do the experiment yourself.
Yes. Yes, I can. For the points you prove using an experiment.
I've proved everything with experiments.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
So in the same thing that you sent me about light, where you say light is made of what? Little bits and pieces? That's proven? Where is that demonstrated?
Do you not believe that light is made of particles?
Nope.
That's Michael Lewis Serafin Wells playing Robert Hooke and Haskell King as the young Isaac Newton. Other than hearing this stray fact on the radio one day, how much did you know about Newton, about the rivalry between Newton and Hooke?
After I had heard that story on the radio, I started collecting a list of facts that could help point me to moments of conflict. Because my goal was to figure out, okay, I need to create a moment where Newton decides to actually do this test where he puts a needle behind his eye. And it needs to be a moment where he's willing to risk a lot. And the most obvious one was that Hooke was really critical of Newton's writings on optics. And when Hooke criticized those works pretty soon after Newton had a nervous breakdown.
And he has portrayed your Newton as this brilliant, hubristic kid who really is deeply awkward in the social niceties. Do you think of him as an Asperger's-y person?
I had heard the theory that Newton might have had Asperger's. I tried as much as possible to put that out of mind. It was really important for me to just show how driven he is and how he's actually making choices to remove himself from the social sphere in exchange for some greater glory. And that choice is really important to me.
And becomes essentially the takeaway from this piece.
Yeah. I mean, the play does set up a kind of false dichotomy, I think, that you can either be in this world and have love in this world, or you can remove yourself from it and have greatness beyond the grave. I mean, that's of course a false dichotomy, but it's a battle that's happening inside my mind all the time. That, you know, I when I decide to go off for a week and work on a new play and not talk to anybody, I am cutting myself off from the rest of the world. And there's something that's simultaneously painful about that, and something that I sometimes regret. But also, I mean, the thing you come out with in the end, you're really proud of it. It's nice to have made something.
And would 20 conversations and 8 beers over the course of that week have been better for you? Probably not.
Probably not.
Well, I'm eager, having seen Isaac's Eye, to see your next one and your next one. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Lucas Naith is the playwright of Isaac's Eye and other plays, including Death Tax and the Courtship of Anna Nicole Smith.